you.
Okay, great.
All right, call the meeting to order. Bob Riggs here.
Dave Dearborn here.
Bob Rice here.
Christie Alchinski here.
David Knapp here.
Good. We all set and ready to go? Any public comment? All righty, minutes.
If you have any changes, I make a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second. Oh, go ahead.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Mr. Director.
So this is our first, so we call it a quasi-work session, so it's still a, still a meeting with a couple of things that we're gonna wanna vote on, but I'm envisioning this being a little bit more conversational than a normal structured board meeting. There were two big things that I wanted to talk about. The one was the housing study, which is why Mary Ann's here. The other was the roof. Unfortunately, the presenter on the roof, Dan Becker from the Garland Company, who oversees McCreary stuff, had the stomach flu this morning, last night or whatever, and so he bailed at like 7 or something this morning. But he didn't think that that was gonna matter. We'll just need to invite him back to the July meeting, I guess. So the main event is gonna be Mary Ann, but I do have a few things that I wanted to touch on real quick. So the first is that you'll notice that our website domain changed. Basically, Erie, I don't wanna spend too much time on this unless you want to talk about it, but it seems like when the Erie and Corey merge happened, there was an account that was set up that no one really owns, which had Corey's domain, CoreyRedevelopment.com, as well as a ErieRedevelopment.com. And Erie didn't want theirs, and I guess the thing got abandoned. So we lost our domain, which is kind of a big deal. We didn't lose the website because actually Capitalist Strategies has been hosting it for years, which was something I didn't know when I actually applied to this job. So anyway, we didn't lose the site, but we lost the link, essentially, that pings the DNS to our server. And as a consequence, I tried to recover it from Network Solutions, who owns it. So what normally happens, at least with our vendor, is if that happens where you lose your domain, then there's a recovery period and they contact you and they charge you more money, but not like an obscene amount of money. And then after 75 days, they let it go back out to the public, in which case, if you don't really care, you can pick your domain back up. You know, someone else could too, but if you're the first to it, you can pick it up for like $30. So we were only 5 days away or something from the 75, and so we thought we'll just let it go and see if we can capture it. If not, we still own CoreyIDC.org, CoreyDevelopment.org, .com, etc. So it's not like we're gonna be without a website. Unfortunately, the sneaky little company knew that we wanted it, and so they bought it and said, well, if you want it back, we're gonna charge $350. So first kind of conversational thing is, do you think it's worth $350 to have Corey Redevelopment rather than Corey Development and Corey IDC? Our website is up and going, people are finding it, they're accessing it. I just don't know how many people out there have, or how much stuff, like, you know, this, does it have Corey Redevelopment on it? On the other hand, it's got all the old addresses and stuff too, so.
If we don't do it, will it be cheaper in 3 months?
No. They bought it for 5 years, so until 2028. Either I'll have to buy it for like $350 or, you know, which by the way, like this, I wanted to make clear our decision to just let it go for those 5 days, it was already the 350, so.
Right.
And is that 350, that's ours? We own that for 5 years?
They, that would be for 1 year. And
then so if I look up Corey Redevelopment, I'm going to get to you anyways.
Yeah.
So the 350 is what?
To get the little link back.
One time or per year or per month?
To recover it, and then it would be, they were obscene in their prices, like $100 some bucks a month, a year to maintain it.
Almost $200.
Whereas, so what I charged was $35, $36, somewhere in there.
Being that it was going dead, how much, you know, how much was put into it? I could see if we had all this time and investment to get people to go to it. Are we just better off, you know, from here on in saying, okay, we're going to dedicate it, like, what we should be doing to it and just go for that? Because what have we really lost? Right. You know? Right. Is it worth the mess
that? Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
David, you're on the internet. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think there's been a... If you had a pattern of activity on it where people were constantly referring to it, I think it might be a bigger issue, but...
See, that's my opinion. I don't think there has been. Do you? I think it's more or less that we just go... And rebrand ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Can I add one more thing to your rebranding point? That's a perfect segue. I've been leading the strategic planning sessions with the Cory Chamber. And their website is apparently also hosted by us, but I didn't know that. And it needs a complete redo. And so back to this kind of conversation of the team Cory, one concierge, like all of us together, Cory Chamber's on board with using their flag and our flag together. We share the same logo and everything. Why don't we just do a really spectacular economic development website,
I think that's good.
All in one, and then just...
And use it as an advantage, saying, hey, here you go. And go, you know, and rebrand ourselves that way. Since it, you know, if we've let it go and really didn't know it was out there, how much branding did we have with it?
I think you. It's a good idea to link them. I would keep a separate identity for both Chamber and the RDA. Yeah. And
just in case down the road.
I mean, there's things that people search for on the Chamber, and RDA pops up, and they go, yeah, I don't want any. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want.
Everybody.
They're ecstatic to have you over there, by the way, if they haven't shared that.
Is everybody comfortable with that? Is that something we need to vote on?
No.
Totally
administrative.
Let's rebrand it.
Yep.
No, it's a good time to do it.
So, what would you pick? CoryRDA.com?
I don't know. I'm actually thinking more along the lines of a Team Cory kind of thing. So we have our Cory IDC already. That's what the website it goes to right now.
And you still, once you do that, you can direct it to that anyways if they're just looking for that.
Absolutely, you can, yeah.
But you can also have that group thing like we've been talking about anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of the Chamber, I've spent, I think, a few Tuesday mornings with them now. And I think there's life there. I think it's recoverable. It's a good group. Cherie is the right person, quirky person, but the right person for that position. And she's a team player. So we have established a few things through the strategic planning process, narrowed all their many ideas and the things that they do down to three things that they want to focus on. The one coincides perfectly with what we want, which is they would be the initial touch point, the concierge, if you would, for Cory. And so we're not kind of getting bothered with, you know, little calls about, I don't even know what that, like, occasionally you might get a call about, well, what kind of eating establishments are in town, just stuff.
Well, that used to be years ago. You always, first stop in a town was to go to the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's what we want the Chamber of Commerce to do.
Whether that be online or in person, that should be the place.
Yeah. The other thing is, I want to do business tours and help facilitate, but I don't really want to live on social media either and try to, you know, make a lot of buzz about businesses. That's her thing. So if she, like, if you could set up the meetings, the tours and whatever, the two of us go and I help with any real tangible, like, business planning things, development, finance, real estate, and then she handles all the, you know, promotion, writing press releases, and getting it over the, you know, all that. That, and then the other thing related to it is they want to do, as they should, you know, the notifications about new management, about, you know, anniversaries, like, you know, businesses that have their 40th anniversary and all that, and really do a much better job, I guess, of their annual meeting and awards banquet kind of thing, which we want to be a part of, but I don't want to do that. Then the next and the last thing that they really want to focus on is a business roundtable. So we do the industrial roundtable, they do the commercial roundtable. We're going to do them together, obviously. We want everybody kind of saying kumbaya, and Cherie would still come to everything, and I would go to hers, and I'll be available and helpful to them. But it doesn't really make sense for the RDA to be the flag that convenes the, you know, professional service companies and, you know, the pizza joints and whatever. So. I'm very encouraged. I don't know how that's going to go with and Pat Corey, and they have Tony Perinelli or whatever his name is.
He presented to them this morning
to the chamber
with a 3-year what they want to do, and they there was a lot of intersection.
Good, well, good and bad, right? It's good if they can figure out how to work together.
Well, for
they want to regionalize.
Does 3 mean 12 years? Because everything they do, they don't finish. So.
They want to regionalize impact with pulling Corey or Erie into the Corey community, and so yeah, they get a little pushback with maybe focus on Corey first. And
the court, so the chamber also wants to be a little bit more regional and then have subcommittees. So like the downtown would be a group, would be a subcommittee. The chamber would have one that's for the Route 6 folks. And they're also thinking about trying to help like Spartansburg and maybe out to Union City eventually. No, Union City had their own. Wattsburg doesn't have anything. And so they were thinking they could really own this side of the county. Obviously, it's Corey-centric, but if you're within a 15-minute drive of Corey, you know, I thought it was a great plan. So anyway, I've been very encouraged by it. I think that's a salvable organization, and I'm glad that you prioritized having me help them. It should be a good partnership. Almost done with that plan, by the way. I think I'm going to do 2 more meetings with them, and then they'll be off to the races. Sheree's great at following the plan. She's not good at writing the plan, so that's kind of where I'm helping. A couple other quick updates. The mechanics lien that I mentioned last time, this would normally be kind of an executive session thing, so it doesn't need to be in the minutes. We have checked.
All right, so I'll go through it pretty quickly. It's up behind you if you want, or I have handouts too, if you want a handout. It's just some brief things about the city of Corey, which you obviously all should know. All of this data is based on U.S. Census data for the 2021 American Community Survey. City of Corey, third class city, population 66,251, occupied housing units 2,796, with a median household income of 37,192. Just for some perspective, the median family income, household income in Pennsylvania is a little over 67,000. Total population, again, 6,251. Median age is 38. And then just some demographics, under the age of 5, 295, under 18, 1479. Over 65,
1444. That median age is actually fairly young.
It is.
That's a lot due to the transient population, though, too.
It must.
For
comparison, Warren County is 48.
Oh, is it really?
Really, yeah.
So Meadville's around the same, 38 as the median age. So you'll see here, population, since 2012, the population has declined in the city by 5%. While you're over the age of 65, folks have increased by 13%. Income, again, 37,192 is the median household income. A little over 23% of all families live below the poverty line here. And of those families, a little over 38% have children in the household under the age of 18 living below the poverty line. Your average rental rate in the city is $758. The median mortgage rate is $823. This does lead to show that most of the renters in the city of Corey are cost burdened. So the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development defines affordable housing as spending less than 30% of your income on housing plus utilities. Anything over that, you are considered cost burden. So 45% of Corey's renter population is considered to be cost burden.
Well, how does that compare to other similar sized cities around?
So for example, the city of Meadville, it's a higher percentage, but you also have much less renters in the city of Corey. You have a lower rental population.
That's surprising.
Yeah, that shocks me a little bit. Than Meadville, you're saying? What's your percentage?
52% of the Meadville population are renters. So 50% of those are cost burden, I believe, is what the Meadville Housing Study.
It's almost the exact same in the city of Warren.
And I had heard the number, we were 51% rental.
Yeah, the 45 surprises me. Where?
Yeah.
What's the source on that?
The census data, 2021 ACS okay. data. So you have 3,166 total units, 2,796 are occupied, leaving 370 vacant units. The homeowner vacancy rate is 2.1%, whereas your rental vacancy rate is 12.5%. So much higher than the Pennsylvania state average for rental vacancy rates, which is 5.1%.
Does that ring true, Christy? Are there that many? That's surprising to me that there'd be that many vacancies for rental. Because it feels really low. And then the homeowner vacancy is also, I mean, that is surprisingly low.
I'm sure people that are holding these properties that are unoccupied, possibly out of town, I'm sure they're identifying them as rentals.
Yes.
And getting some type of a...
True.
That makes sense.
...way to write them off rather than a primary residence.
So probably one of the biggest things, and this is not uncommon for cities of this age, 45% of the units were constructed prior to 1940.
Hmm. What's it shows?
Of these occupied units, 64% are owner-occupied, 35% are renter-occupied. Average household size, you'll see here, 1.94 owner-occupied, 2.66 renter-occupied.
Does that have a lot to do with like the aging population with us going up?
So at the end of this, there are some questions that should be answered that need a little further investigation. One of those is why, right? Is it because cost burden, the renters are being more cost burdened, and so they're living together, creating a larger household
size?
Probably
a lot to do.
Yeah. So there are some questions, like I said, at the end. So in this, you're looking at renter-occupied trends. Renter-occupied trends have decreased from 2010 to 2021 by 10%, whereas 4-plus renter households are increasing. Owner-occupied trends. Since between 2010 and 2021, owner occupancy has increased by 18%. The largest jump is occurring between 2019 and 2020, where you're seeing 17.6% increase in one person households. So you'll see that on the right-hand side. You see 2, 3, and 4 person households have remained relatively consistent over the last 5 years. So one person households are increasing by 189% between 2016 and 2021. So this is household versus unit size. So you'll see household size. Those are things listed on the left bar. The right bar is unit size. So comparing these graphs, the Cory market seems to have a surplus of 3-bedroom housing units. The number of 2 and 4 bedroom units are relatively adequate, but there looks to be a severe lack of 1-bedroom units based on household size. The lack of 1-bedroom units may cause more people to live together in a household. Housing trends. So this shows you between 2010 and 2021. Increase in one-person households appears to be due to increase in one-person owner-occupied housing. Again, there's that 189% increase since 2016 of one-person households. Rather than one-person rentals. As you recall, the rental, one-person rental has decreased. So this is looking over the past decade. The number of one-person households, again, has increased by 41%. This is just, again, showing that there is a need for one-person units. This is a projection for the next 10 years, based upon the past 10 years for one bedroom needs. So you can see there is projected to be an increase over the next 10 years for one person.
Or how much that was because you have an aging population, COVID and death, because we had a ton of deaths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two family, you know, elderly. I mean, it was, you know, just going by obits, I can tell you it was insane. So I wonder how much that skews that.
It could be. And that leads to some of these takeaways. Mm-hmm. So takeaways, you definitely have a declining population, aging population, you have an aging housing stock, you have a high percentage of families living below the poverty line, 45% of your rental population is cost burden, you have a higher rental vacancy rate than the Pennsylvania average, and there appears to be a need for one-bedroom housing. But some of the questions are, what is the average age of the rental population in the city of Cory? Where is the aging population living? Are they moving into smaller homes? Are they going to be moving into rentals? Are one-person rentals declining due to being cost burden and forcing non-related individuals to live together? What is the reason for the higher rental vacancy rate? Is it housing conditions? Is it cost? What are those factors?
And Corey, I'm not trying to be rude, but I think there's a lot of rentals that are just terrible and not rentable, and people aren't willing to take them.
Sure. Yeah.
We just have a stock of bad rental now.
So that's all I have in my presentation.
Thank you. Good job.
Christy, at some point.
Pardon me?
At some point, if you don't mind. Thank you.
That seems right, but the rental properties are just so terrible.
And I would think it's the aging, because I don't think I have a rental where two non-family people are living together in it.
Mm.
Which I think happens in bigger cities a lot. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are there hefty ordinances against the usual?
We have seen an uptick of people calling for the needs for one bedrooms in the last year.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the average income, that's a factor. I know a lot of the older clients that when Lecom built the housing up there, they were just aghast at the price. They're going, they want $1,100 to $1,500 a month. I can't afford that. And they have a bunch of one bedrooms.
Started much higher than that.
Yeah.
With one bedroom and aging population, has any consideration been given into a facility that maybe one floor is you know, living on your own, the next is like an assisted living, and then a third floor being like a nursing facility? I know that they have those other places.
There's a lot of
and
places in Pittsburgh and stuff.
Right.
That have like this side of the complex is, you know, there's all kinds of stores within it too, is living alone,
right,
and move to this, and
mm-hmm.
But a lot of that's done by
some around here too. Springer,
reverse mortgage.
Up in Erie's that way. Westbury and Meadville's got the same thing.
If we have such a need in Cory with the one bedroom, and we have such an aging population, I don't know. Maybe some consideration should be given into
the problem with the reason that that's generally not advised to build now is because of the long term projections. So once the baby boomers, you're building a facility for 40 to 60 years, and your market's not going to be there. And whereas houses, you can usually reconfigure. It's really hard to like take an assisted living suites facility and alter it. So as a general trend, and then by the way, the other complexity is that different regulatory bodies regulate each of those floors. And so really you want to do more of some sort of a complex where they are independent and you can change them. I mean, the Rouse home for Rouse Estate right now is going through a very similar issue, because we've seen an influx in some areas and a decrease in others. So how do you take like a floor for a skilled sort of for a SNF and turn it into dementia wing or something like that, which is regulated completely differently? That's really challenging. So
in the right setting, I don't think $250,000 scares me on a 1,800 square foot house here. Seems like a lot of money. But we're also seeing a market that is not here right now where people, and I think it's going to continue as the insanity continues in our country, where people are going to come to a quieter community.
Yeah.
And if they can have, they don't need 2 acres, but if they can have a decent sized city lot and a carefree, maintenance free home to start with.
In 10 years of free taxes.
I think they'll do it.
This should be an attractive thing. When you talk about the one person units,
mm-hmm.
are we talking studio apartment or are we talking one bedroom homes?
Probably more, so it depends, one bedroom homes, if you're looking at owner occupied homes. If you're looking at rentals, we could do an efficiency studio type things.
But just because it's one person doesn't mean they're looking for one bedroom. That person could be looking for 2 bedroom, but they're one person living alone. Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of people that are one person and they want 2 bedrooms.
But you're going to have company.
Yeah.
They want a 2 bedroom, one and a half bath, or, you know, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
The only times I get the 1 bedroom is a young person working. That's what they can afford.
Yeah,
they want a very easy apartment where everything's taken care of.
And I think there probably is a market for that. I mean, we should dial into the data there and see, to your point about the age thing, mm-hmm. my suspicion would be there's an inverted bell curve of the 18 to 26-year-olds that are looking for studio apartments and, you know, the 60-some plus. But when you translate that, I mean, the problem with that being one single graph is that the need for the market, the older population is going to want that 2 bedroom, even though it's one person living there, and the younger is not.
And on the new house thing, what you just said, the price, don't be surprised you find somebody who's had a house here, they're in their 50s and 60s, they'll pay that because they have the money, but they want a one story, all brand new, nothing to worry about,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
because they have an old 2-story home that they raised their family in.
I think that's
not even more, but 10 years of free taxes, how long are you going to live?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
People think that way.
I tell you, it's attractive to me. Not the lot size, but city services, no tax.
I mean, I want to see houses here, but apartments to me are very important because I think we're losing new teachers and people you bring into town to work. And if they don't live here, they don't meet somebody here, they don't stay here and get married here, or raise family here, or buy a house here, you can't keep them because they meet somebody somewhere else, or they live in Waterford, Erie.
They're not going to drive.
Right. So they do it for a year or two, and you lose all the training you've given them.
I just think of our manufacturers. They're still stuck in the same rut they were,
mm-hmm.
you know, from your meetings. What's the number one thing they tell you? We need homes.
Absolutely.
You know, because we keep losing people that are driving from, you know, Centerville and, you know, places like that.
Last year, 6 new teachers wanted places, and I didn't have them.
Marianne, up on top of the hill behind the, off of Mullen Road, are they continuing to expand up there? They're the patio homes, multi-unit.
Are you talking outside of Meadville?
Vernon.
Oh, Hunter's Ridge.
Thank you.
Yes, they are.
Those are nice. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
That's 20 years old, maybe?
Probably, yeah. So those are a mix of, they have more apartment-style condos, and then single-family homes and townhouses.
No basement. Some have a garage, some don't. They're nice. They're not really, really big. And they continue to, and mm-hmm. they have good tenants.
They do.
They're not cheap.
No. Mm-mm.
How many acres does that consume, you think? What they have up there right now?
15.
10, 15. Sciota.
Or
up top, like we were talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been really successful. I know there's been wait lists and they are expanding.
I think they did a good job too. It looks nice.
So are you telling me that too, like it's younger people and older people, it's a mix?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think of the Joan Hannons who doesn't want to live at the hospital, but she still wants her own home, but would love to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not.
And she has the money to buy something.
They're not.
I
huge.
Could take a ride and see them.
They're.
Well,
can't drive. But you
but there's nice. I know the one that I had been in, there's nice living room, a kitchen, bar, kind of a galley kitchen.
With open concept today, you can make something that's 1,100 square feet, look huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, nice place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we're winding down on the big discussions, unless there's anything more that you want to say or any questions.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, real quick, though, could you talk just for a minute of the various things that you're going after?
Oh, yeah.
All the grants and such.
So the biggest thing is probably looking at a fair grant. And I need to touch base with, like, Impact Quarry, some other entities, just to see. So the fair grants that you can do for housing rehab, so some of those older homes that need rehabbed, but they particularly like to have a focus. So is it, do you want a new roof? Is it siding? Is it windows? Like, what kind of funding are you looking for? So I need to meet with some of those individuals who would know what the need is.
Meaning like all exterior would be, like facade would be a...
Right.
Okay.
And to meet with them to see what am I applying for? Like, what kind of funding am I going to apply for? So the fair grant's probably the biggest one that opens up in fall. And we'll start doing that. Whole homes.
What kind of funds are you talking about from that fair grant?
They usually, so we've never gone after fair funds before, so they'll probably start you with a lower pot of money, probably somewhere between 75 and 100,000 would be my guess. And then once you prove that you can expend that funding, then next year it's a annual grant. So next year you apply, you'll get a larger pot of funding. Whole homes is going.
We think.
I guess. I don't know. It's ready on our end.
We've done everything we need to.
That's waiting on the county to figure it out, I think, right?
So Mr. Davis put some additional restrictions into our into the agreement. The good news is Corey is still prioritized, but he deprioritized everything else other than Wattsburg and Elgin and Union City. So within our domain, basically all of the money that we have is intended to go towards as most the most visible streets within the city and or those boroughs as possible. Which is a fine play, it just wasn't expressed to us early.
And it makes it a little more difficult, yes, to expend those funds.
So you just limited the pool quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. So it's gonna be a lot more time intensive hand holding of applicants and getting the word out, some of those kinds of things.
You applied for something that there's a meeting tomorrow about?
Healthy homes. It just is designating your city as a healthy home community, so, and it kind of helps you justify making the stakeholder connections. So my impression of Corey is that you do have the stakeholders here, but the ability for everybody to kind of play well in the sandbox is a hit or miss situation at times.
Okay, with the clue.
So
that actually is a pretty good analogy for like painting a better picture, and it really is.
So it kind of gives you the stepping stones and the backing to say, hey, we're going after this healthy homes designation. Let's be able to actually work together for a consistent period of time.
Okay. Ben's been preaching that.
Yeah.
Do we have a plan in place where we could go back to the county and ask them to remove some of these prohibitive restrictions for...
I think we're just going to roll with this one.
I've talked to Brent about it. He's adamant about not having the funding opened up to a large swath of folks for some whatever reason.
Wait, what? I thought it was the other way around.
No.
Who doesn't even want to have it?
Hmm?
Who doesn't even want people, like, what's his ploy? I need to beat him in the head a little bit?
I don't know his.
I think we're very happy for having a whole home repair program.
Okay. Okay. So just keep it as is.
Okay. Don't want to cause any issues right now, so, because we are making a bigger play for our money.
Does that money have to be used evenly within the four areas, or
no,
where you feel the need?
Okay. So we get aggressive. We get.
There's a unwritten agreement between Erie City RDA and us that we would try to split between this half of the county and that half of the county pretty evenly. Other than that, there's no real restrictions.
We should stay within that sandbox because, you know, Tina's, you know, been very good at...
This is a city.
Yeah, I know, but I think she can control it. But the, you know, the city and the, I think this is, we stay in our lane.
But Ben's bigger point too. This is a little bit of money. We want more money.
Mm-hmm.
And bigger projects down the road to play their game.
Yep.
So for instance, Erie City gets all the county's Act 137 money. I mean, there's a lot of other things that I don't want to be at enmity with Erie City RDA, but if the money is flowing and it's all going there and they're administering programs here, I'd kind of rather build our portfolio, prove ourselves, sure, and have that run through us in the future rather than through the city.
There's, I had talked to Ben and Bob, Erie County RDA and another entity, there's still something kind of quiet going on up there, but they had a cooperation agreement that I can't believe that somebody else didn't think about that. But when they'd run parallel with another entity, be it Impact Corps or the Chamber, it was an agreement that kind of put who does what, who shouldn't do what, and what the termination or the jump off point is. But I look forward to sharing that with everyone. It just makes great sense when you partner up.
Well, we always do cooperation agreements for RACI projects. Every one of them has two cooperation.
Maybe it's something that I'm just coming across now and unfamiliar with.
Yeah,
but
I'd be happy to show you that.
Just kept everybody
in the
right.
You have to have that.
We have to have it.
So that is exactly what I was trying to do when I was having the swim lane conversations with Impact Corey, and I had that document that listed what everyone is supposed to do. Because it is confusing. There are areas, you know, that Venn diagram is not perfect of, well, there is a Venn diagram. The lines between what we do and Impact does and whatever is not clear. And that was my point. The problem is that the entity across the street won't agree to a scope. So we can make that, I think we are at a great place to make that between us and the Chamber, for instance. Mm-hmm. And maybe to an extent the city. So, I see the time. Let me try to blow through a couple of other things.
Could I just, Marianne, is it possible to have to make a copy of your exhibit?
That's awesome.
Here, I'll pass them around.
Thank you.
So grant-wise, she touched on the housing stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. On all other things, we're still gearing up for a couple of RAPD applications and technical assistance for the USDA. I want to highlight the Firehouse grant, Firehouse project real quick, because unsurprisingly, as things in Corey go, it seems to be once I grasp onto something firm, it... So the way I left it in the last meeting with the city was we had a good scope. I'd identified a developer and brought them in. They were going to turn around and have the RDA apply for the grants and whatever. I had a project charter which said, you know, the police are going here, the fire station is going to go here. I felt like we had a, you know, I engaged Ashley Porter. And then we had our meeting on Tuesday, it was scheduled for us this past Tuesday. They canceled it in order to have a city meeting of just council where they talked about it, and I wasn't invited. I couldn't have gone anyway. And I emailed Joni, about it, and she responded to me today and said the mayor is kind of off doing his own thing. He's engaged an architect. So,
it's not going to happen. I told him to stay the hell out.
It won't happen.
I had my first meeting
just
with
don't
him.
Change.
Yeah. I mean, I felt really good because I had, for the first time, I felt like we had a scope that everyone agreed to and a property that we had said, this is the one. And, you know, everyone was like, wow, we've never gotten this far. And then, you know, they have this meeting and the mayor's off doing his thing. So I may need to ask you for some help on that front at some point.
I just told him on Monday to stay the hell out of the lane.
Okay. Well, just yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe. Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to
stay
aware.
Out of the lane.
I wanted to make you aware, because essentially I had gone in as the RDA saying, we can help project manage this because we want to see this done, and we're going to be the ones that are benefiting from the grant and the grant admin fees and whatever. And I don't know where that's at this point.
So why don't me and you meet with the mayor?
I think it would be a great idea.
Okay, let's do that. I'll set it up.
We also have a meeting. The next project meeting is today, so I'll at least get the updates today. And lastly, today I'm also meeting with Brian Bills about him potentially acquiring some of the properties on Heidi Lane. Not sure how we would play into that. He just wanted to make me aware. All right, I think that's it.
Have we done anything with Associated Springs?
Related to housing?
Related to them in general, we're going to meet with them and.
Oh, we've
It's my right.
I've had a couple tours and a couple meetings. Yeah, I'd love to offline talk to you about
Sweet.
Where I think they're going, and how the RDA can play into it. Financial statements.
Any questions? I mean, you guys have all read them.
Right.
No.
I'll just make a couple notes real quick because I know Bob needs to get out of here. Cobblestone. I received the first, their April 1 on 6/5, and I received the May 1 today. So Cobblestone's back being current. And the other one, Conklin, she did stop in and she paid the May 1. So.
I'll make a motion to accept the financials as they were presented.
So. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Next on the agenda was the NTEC loan, but I think
we already
covered that. Postpone.
Yep. Based on the questions.
Yep. I'll do more research. The next one is resolution for today is on the sale of excess property. We talked about it at the last meeting. This is just stuff that we have. It's duplicative. We don't need it. The last meeting we authorized the setup of the grants.gov. Not grants.gov. What was the name of that?
Deals.gov.
Deals. Whatever. GovDeals.com.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so we will be able to put this stuff online as soon as you authorize the sale of the property.
Make a motion that we adopt resolution 06132023.
Thanks, Dave. A second?
Second.
Bob, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next is the selection of garland, but since Mr. Becker was not able to make it, he did not think that it would be a problem to wait till July. He still thinks they could go in late summer and do the repairs and such that are necessary. He even indicated that if we did need to replace the big roof on one plastic, that they could still be done this year. The problem is that it would cost $1.6 million, and the max that we can come up with out of pocket right now would be like $400,000. So I guess, you know, where Tammy and I are going to need to talk about how we could.
I'll limit that.
Which does, you know, bring up your point again. Trying to sell the building. So, I will need to postpone that as well. And then the last thing is the potential leasing of the hay field, the 31 acres across the way. I don't know how much detail you want to go into.
Has he been back? Did he ask to have it put on the agenda?
No.
No, he did.
He didn't ask me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he asked me.
Kind of late here to be planting corn.
It's not going to be for planting corn.
Be for hay.
For hay.
Yeah. And I think we'd all agree, if you want to, it's terrible hay for field, or excuse me, field for hay. And then plus the weather, I mean, it's not been growing, so. I don't know that we're going to get anything this year. I guess what I would ask for is specific authorization to authorize me to enter an agreement. And then that way, if something comes together in the next month or in the next 9 months, you know, I can actually
leasing it for hay.
Yeah.
Or
I think hay.
This has been kicked around for the last couple of years. I was involved in this 2 years ago, before you come on board. With
it. It's really not what the land's supposed to be used for.
Let's put a building up.
Where? This is across from the
baseball.
This is over in.
Yeah, sure. It saves mowing.
Somebody had corn in there.
You've got to cut it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Somebody wanted to, wanted to lease it for someone to do corn for a 5-year contract.
No.
Because they were going to put all this money into the soil.
You can cut hay all you want.
Yep, okay. We're all in agreement?
Agreement of that. Somebody want to make that motion to allow him? Second, Christy?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
I think the meeting's over, but I'm just worried what they're going to start calling us as board members because there's an 8-foot antique pallet jack.
Can I have a motion for adjournment so I can go get
therapy? Go get therapy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. They love me out.
Second home,
thanks.
Right?
Good seeing everybody.
Yeah,
I'm back. If you need to meet up the city government, let me know.
What the hell, Bob? You're walking with nothing, man?